Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Neil Douglas, and this is American Truth Finders. And thought I'd give you a little taste of different music for this evening. I hope you liked it. I did. I just didn't have time to play the whole song. Anyway, we've got a great show tonight, and we've got a great guest. And this is going to be it's such a hot topic that and there's so many different views of what's going on. I think you're going to find that that it's really something that you're either going to win friends or you're going to lose friends, one way or the other. By the way, I'm going to give you our phone number. It's 888-627-6008. Get your pencil out. I'll write that again. I'll give you that number again. It's 888-627-6008. And if you go on Facebook, you'll see it there as well, because I figured that's the easiest way to get to a lot of you. And you can look at that under Neil Douglas. That's NeilDouglas. We have an email number that you can also email us, and that's Neil, N-E-I-L, one, the number one, just one, American Truth Finders, all one word, @gmail.com. Send us a message after the show or during the show. I probably won't get to take them because we're going to be really busy, because we have got a guest tonight that is many of you are well aware of who he is. His name is Dane Wigington. Dane, are you with us?
Are you good, Neil?
Hey, how are you? Good to hear you. I tell you what, Dane, I'm going to give a little bit of your background, and it's called, it's real simple. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but Dane has a background in solar energy, a former employee of Bechtel Corporation, and has a licensed and was a licensed contractor, in California and Arizona, and he has been engaged in constant climate engineering. That's a slash engineering. Geoengineering, excuse me, I'm going to repeat that, climate geoengineering research for over a decade. I just got distracted a minute because I heard that there was a terrible echo, and I don't know if our engineer can let me know if that's coming through over the air or what's happening here. I'm not hearing an echo on your end, Dane, so I don't know if you're getting an echo, but we'll go on with the show. How's that?
It sounds good in this end, Neil.
Okay, great. Dane, I have a question right off the get-go. For those people who might not know what chemtrails or geoengineering is, do us a favor. Give us some background, will you?
Geoengineering is a term that is intentionally not clear by the power structure. I mean, because they know the populations won't respond well to the power structure deciding to play God with the weather. Geoengineering implies the manipulation of Earth's climate system. These programs have been going on a significant scale since the late 40s. The public is not aware of this. They've all heard of weather modification, but they don't understand, because they have not been told, the degree to which the climate system is being manipulated. Two major factors in this, Neil, is the aerosolization, the intentional disbursement of atmospheric aerosols for the stated purpose of solar radiation management to block the sun. This is where semantics are important. If you're introducing this subject to others, you need to use the science terms. The chemtrails term is not scientifically based. It leads straight to conspiracy theory and hoax if people Google search this. So solar radiation management, aerosol geoengineering, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, all these are the science terms. Again, it implies the intentional manipulation of the planet's climate system for various purposes. And in fact, we have more than enough data to prove conclusively these programs are going on and have been going on for 6.5 decades.
That's a long time. And I guess the next question would be, because a lot of people out there, this is their first time they're even hearing about chemtrails, which is different than what we as average human beings know as contrails.
This is I'm sorry. Go ahead, Neil.
No, I was just going to say, am I correct in that?
You are correct. And this is where really the huge disinformation campaign on a quote-unquote condensation trail. It's an absolute lie. I ask everybody to consider, on a cold day, if you walk down the street and your breath is condensing, do you walk a mile down the street and turn around and see a big cloud hanging behind you? No, that is not the case. And when we know that the jet engine that is on all commercial aircraft and all military tankers is called a high-bypass turbofan jet engine. I encourage people to not believe me, research this issue. 85% of the air that passes through that engine is non-combusted. That engine's designed for fuel efficiency. By design, it is nearly incapable of making any condensation trail except under the most extreme circumstances. And we know, we have film footage, again, of these spray disbursements. We have numerous film reels of them turning on and off. You can't turn a condensation trail on and off. And again, we have film footage of KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17 Globemasters, all military tankers spraying at altitude. We have film footage of the crime happening. And the notion that we should see any significant, quote, condensation trails, unless you live in Alaska in the winter, is absolutely a lie. And when we can see clear skies one day and grid patterns the next, it should be clear to people that they're being lied to. So again, the whole condensation trail thing, Neil, is simply disinformation that has worked very well to this point to convince people that anything they see in the sky is condensation. Couldn't be further from the truth, and our lab tests prove it.
Okay. Now, Dane, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm going to give our caller number out again, but before I do, I'm going to bring up something because I had to do a tremendous amount of research in order to know just a tip of my finger of what kind of knowledge you have. Okay, and I noticed that, and I'm going to ask you this question. I noticed you don't use the term troposphere as far as our atmospheric levels. Can you explain that, and can you tell us why you don't?
It's not me. These are the science terms that have been put onto these programs. In fact, the vast majority of the spraying, the particulate disbursement, does occur in the troposphere, not in the stratosphere. But nevertheless, we have the science terms that the science community has given us. So if we were to try to change those terms, because those in power have increasingly chose to spray at ever lower levels, we would simply confuse the situation. So, and there are some in the anti-geoengineering community that want to argue about the troposphere term compared to the stratospheric term that's applied to the patents, applied to the science. But for the purposes of introducing the issue, I think we would only muddy the water to try to intermatch those terms. We simply have science terms that we're stuck with, and the fact that again, those in power are choosing to spray at ever lower levels. The experiment is ongoing, Neil, and from one day to the next, it's in a state of flux. So,
the reason I ask you that because my next question was going to be, how high up are these planes flying to, you know, to spray the chemtrails? You know, where do they start, and how high are they? And are there any cases of which commercial airlines might be even spraying chemtrails?
Okay, I'll try to answer that from the beginning. They're spraying at many different altitudes. In fact, we see in the case of the military tankers, often spraying at quite low altitudes. We see them at sometimes 15, 18,000 feet. They emit a different trail than many of the other aircraft. So the military tankers, when they're carrying a very large payload, they can't fly at the upper levels. And again, we cannot know all the various aspects of the experimentation that's going on. So we see altitudes from 40,000 down to 15, 18,000 feet. I once witnessed a KC-135 spraying at about 7 or 8,000 feet over the Northern California city of Redding when it had a blanket of fog over it at night. Now, what they were doing there, we can all guess, but it didn't seem to be related to weather modification. but I witnessed that myself. So we see a lot of different altitudes of spraying. When NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, in 2010 published data stating that these upper level stratospheres, which we know are particulate clouds, this haze, which is causing global dimming, the particulate disbursements, is actually making the global warming situation worse, not better. After that publication, we saw and had witnesses around the world that the spraying levels seemed to drop significantly. So is this whole experiment that willy-nilly where they're just doing it by the seat of their pants? It seems like in some degrees they are. And I've spoken to one of the architects of these programs from Oak Ridge Labs. I had one conversation with him, which I published, and this man was horribly uninformed as to many aspects of the cataclysm that climate engineering was causing, yet he's one of the architects. So again, they're all over the board with what they do, why they do it, and the altitude is part of that situation. Whatever they disperse on any given day, Neil, there's just a lot of variables, again, that we can't know. But the fact that it's going on, the data, film footage, documents, government, UN, we have so much data to prove this is going on. Our only goal at geoengineeringwatch.org, by the way, which is my website, for people who want to find data there. We don't sell anything. We're non-political. We're simply trying to get people to investigate, Neil.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna be quite upfront with you, like I am with any guests that I would have. I'm going to ask you some tough questions.
Please do.
Because I think that these are questions that really are highly important. And one of them you mentioned we'll get to a little bit later is, the global warming issue. But what I want to do is continue on with this. So what is the highest area of in the atmosphere that you think that they are, when I say highest, that they are spraying the chemical, because it's only going to come down so far, and it's going to do what? You know what I'm saying? As far as what they are spraying, and then I'm also one of in that. I want you to tell us what they are spraying.
Okay, first we can't know all the altitudes that they may be dispersing materials. It's simply impossible to know. Visually, we can say, certainly from the tropopause, the transition from the troposphere to the stratosphere, we can see aircraft at those altitudes all the way down to, again, the 15, 18,000 feet, which I mentioned. So they're all over that range. The various constituents they may be putting out can vary, but what has showed up primarily, what I began to test for, which when I first became aware of what was going on in our skies, was primary elements named in geoengineering patents, aluminum, barium. We've tested for strontium, and the primary being aluminum and barium. My initial baseline test, Neil, was 7 parts per billion in a forested area of Northern California. Hydrogeologists I spoke to immediately afterward made it clear I should have less than 1 ppb at most. I had 7. That was my baseline. Subsequent tests of single rain events went as high as 3,450 parts per billion. That's highly toxic rain. It's changing soil pHs here in Northern California horrifically, and we have the baselines. So there is a mountain of metal coming down on us. And again, the heavy metals are our primary constituent because aluminum has a high volumetric forcing ability. It can reflect the incoming thermal energy from the sun, and that's the stated goal of solar radiation management. So aluminum nanoparticulates are a primary element named. And again, we know we have this in every single rain test we've taken. So we know it's not coming from China. A lot of people want to leap at that. California Air Resources Board studies prove that. And we know it's in these quantities, it's in recent origin. Again, this program's been going on for 6.5 decades, but they've been ramped up radically in 98, 99, 2005, 2006, 2008, several times they've been ramped up. So in the last decade plus, so much heavy metal has come down on us in Northern California. It's changed soil pHs 10 to 12 times toward alkaline, and it's caused approximately a 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insect life. We know this from Forest Service biologists that are working with us. So again, there's horrific things happening that the public's not being told about.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give our number out again. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I welcome any of our callers to call in, our listeners, I should say. This is an open show for calling. Ask our guest anything that you're unsure of or you want to know about. And I'm sure he's got broad shoulders that he can take any tough question. I'm going to continue on for just a second here, Dane. And now this is something that I'm interested in finding out. In a lot of the research that I did, you know, researching your work, researching geoengineering, I noticed that. And that you don't really recognize other people's work, and I realize that you are probably the most well known at this point as far as what I have found, but you don't recognize other people's work, and I'm wondering if there's a reason for that, and I'm asking that because that's going to lead up to my next question. After you answer that question.
I'm not sure what you base that on, because I recognize many people's work. There are some who I don't, because I don't believe their conclusions are based on the data or supported by the data. But that being said, I post work from other people all the time. So I'm not sure.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, for instance, you have 11 agendas for your topic, for your work that you're into. My question is, Ilana Freeland, I don't know if you're familiar with Ilana, she's an author, Chemtrails, HARP, and Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. She has seven agendas. Do you use any of her agendas?
Well, I'm not sure what 11 agendas you're referring to on my end. I'm not sure what document you're referring to that I would have done in that regard. I appreciate what Ilana is doing. There was an issue with her book and publication that she quoted me as saying something in her book that I never have said or thought. I'm not sure where that came from, but that being said, I'm appreciative of anything anyone is doing to help sound the alarm on this issue. And
I'm
not sure we're going with that at all. Again, she's trying to sell her book or something, that's fine, but I don't.
No. Let me make this very clear. She is not even aware that I brought I don't even know Ilana, okay? I just have seen the information I have found in my research, number one. And number two, the same going for the 11 agendas that you have.
You might clarify that, because I'm not sure.
Okay. I will clarify that. To give you an example, one of them is the constant horizon-to-horizon aircraft trails that slowly expand and merge until the entire sky is often cleared with a blanket of artificial cloud. That's just – I'm not reading the whole one, but this is yours now that I'm reading. Elements such as barium, and you already brought this up, aluminum.
Are these the bullet points, Neil? Are these the bullet points?
Well, in your case, you might call them bullet points. I'm calling them agendas. With Ilana, she uses weather / environmental modification, electromagnetic operations, military operations. That's number three. Number four is biological and chemical operations, planetary / geophysical operations. Intelligence / surveillance and detection and obscuration of exotic propulsion systems. Now, those are her seven agendas.
I wouldn't argue with that at all. I wouldn't argue with anything she listed. I have no issue with that. I think there's a few more aspects going on right now that, again, are being overlooked that the power structure is right now trying desperately mm-hmm. to confuse and divide the American population as to the true state of the climate. The cool down of the eastern U.S. is a primary example of this. The eastern half of the North American continent was the most anomalously cold place on the entire planet Earth for the entire 2014 year. Same pattern is being repeated this year. This is completely an engineered scenario. The media focuses only on the cool down. They don't focus only on the amount of snow in Boston at sea level. They don't talk about the lack of snow 14,000 feet up in the Sierras. So there's a lot of other aspects going on in addition to what Elena named, but I have no issue with anything she named. Some of the people that have accused me of not sharing their data are people mm-hmm. who tried to say that the moisture for storms is coming out of cooling towers at power plants. I mean, statements like that are absolute nonsense. I've worked on power plants cooling towers for Bechtel Power. Some of those cooling towers are fed with a 4-inch well pipe. Do you think you could get enough precipitation to create a storm from a 4-inch well pipe? I mean, so some people are saying things that are so patently ridiculous, Neil, that, and I'm not saying Elena, everything you stated from her was, I have no issue with at all. But some people are so all over the board in this equation that I simply don't want anything to do with them or their data because it discredits our cause. But those that are putting out credible data, I am happy to post, and I do all the time.
Okay. Let's get back to some of the issues of geoengineering. There's got to be a reason for all of this. Now, our listeners, I'm sure, are questioning what is the reason for geoengineering as far as science is concerned, in the rest of the world, because I mean this is all over the world. I mean, there's no doubt that this is, in the research that I've done, it just trying to get information for tonight's show. It shows that this is, by all means, I mean, you mentioned California, which I don't disagree because you hear a lot about that. You hear about a lot of it in Arizona and in that area. But this is happening all over the world. Am I correct?
There's no question about that. And again, for those that don't think it's happening where they live, those who have not seen it, they simply have not looked for it. And in regard to the aluminum contamination in particular, we have a peer-reviewed study that indicates just how widespread this contamination is. 1,000 whales from around the globe were studied in 2010 for inorganics, where they were tested for inorganics at the last moment, and they all contained, the report stated, the term jaw-dropping levels of aluminum in their tissue. So again, we have figures of global dimming, a term that most have not heard about. Over the last five decades, 20 to 25%, depending on the study, of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet due to the aerosol saturation of the atmosphere. This is, again, the express goal of climate engineering.
Okay. I tell you what, I don't want to be the only one doing all the talking here or asking the questions. Excuse me. You're doing a great job, Dane. I do want to go to our phones. Janet on line two. Janet's from Michigan. Janet, welcome to the show.
Hi, Neil. I've got so many questions, I don't know where to start. Yeah, there's only a half an hour left.
Just start with them and we'll see what we can go.
Well, he's answered quite a few of them about things I pretty much already know about. And what I'd like to know is, what is the connection? I'm going to just spit it right out. What is the connection about between Bill Gates, Agenda 21, depopulation, climate control? I want to hear him comment on each one of those things. And why isn't the news media picking any of this stuff up? Who do they think we're stupid or something? That we don't know that this is going on?
Well, actually, Janet, I'm going to keep you on the line, too, because these are good questions, because these are some of the questions I was going to ask Dane as well, and I'm sure Dane will answer them. But let's start with question number one that you started with.
Threefold.
if I could dive in, Janet, your question is
deep. Okay.
your questions are all valid, and this is where the equation is much more complicated than many, even in the anti-geoengineering movement, want to make it. Many people want to put this issue in one box or another box. It's many, many things. There are many layers to the onion. People like Bill Gates are more a prop in the play than an actual funder of these programs. These programs are so much bigger even than Gates. So we have people like Gates, or we have geoengineers like David Keith and Ken Caldera. I've met both of them. People that are more or less on the fringes of this issue, but at the core, you have the most powerful people in the world, of course, carrying out the most singly destructive activity ever undertaken by the human race. Agenda 21, can we separate eugenics out of this? I don't think we can. Now, again, if we know that the elements being sprayed are highly toxic, if we know that the power structure knows they're toxic and they're doing it anyway, it's impossible to separate out the biological aspect of this. So what the human population faces amounts to weather warfare and biological warfare. You cannot separate the two because we have to breathe what they're spraying. You mentioned the climate control. It's always been sought by the power structure, always. Thus, we have documents like owning the weather, military document. We have the U.S. top military brass. And again, I encourage everybody, please don't believe a word I'm saying. Please search everything I'm saying. The top U.S. military is stating on the record, the greatest threat, national security threat for the United States is the imploding climate. We would be fools to think that they're not engaged in these programs. They're doing horrific harm, but that's what the military-industrial complex does. On the media, do they think we're stupid?
Let me interrupt you just right there for just a second, if I can, Dane. Now, are you referring to global warming in on this this portion of this topic?
Okay, a lot of background noise coming from somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I'm hearing it also, but
What I'm stating is this: top U.S. military brass. Somebody's got the radio on in the background.
Yeah, somebody must have a radio on because it's I'm missing what you said.
They'll have to cut that Skype viewer off maybe if they have the radio on in the background. This is what I'm saying. The top U.S. military brass is stated on the record. They consider the imploding climate system the greatest national security threat of all. I am simply saying what they have said. People can Google this. They can look for it. Whatever they consider the problems with the climate or not, that's not my statement. My statement is the top U.S. military brass is stating this, and we would be fools to believe they're not engaged with the climate modification efforts on an ongoing basis. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. With global warming, do you yourself personally feel that it is man-made, or what are your feelings? Because I have my own thoughts on that, because in my opinion, which is that global warming, this issue is not man-made. Other than it's a fabrication in order to raise money by scientists and or people like Bill Gates, who's already got all the money in the world as far as the rest of us are concerned. So do you think global warming is man-made, or what is your opinion?
Well, my conclusions are based on the data, and this is what I would say. Do I like Al Gore? No. I don't think anybody likes Al Gore. He's done exactly what the power structure wanted him to do, be so unlikable that people would take the opposite position of whatever he said. But I would argue this: if Al Gore says the world is round, should we take the position it's flat? And I would argue the answer is no. So yes, we have disaster capitalists who are trying to make money, as they always do, off every calamity. But the fact that they're trying to make money off calamity, does that mean the calamity is not happening? If we look at actual data on the ground, the planet's not just warming; it's in total meltdown.
Is it caused by humans? Or I mean, is it man-made?
Well, let me get to that. This is what I would. When people argue it's a cycle, if you look at data and you use data for your conclusions, it's no more a natural cycle than if, again, if you run somebody over in a crosswalk and then you say, well, I didn't kill them. They died of a heart attack right before I hit them. That probably wouldn't hold up in a court of law. And we have, in addition to climate engineering, which alone is warming the planet, it deflects some of the incoming thermal radiation, but it traps much more than it deflects. It's shredding the ozone layer. So even if we just looked at climate engineering alone, which is a man-made, an anthropogenic activity, that activity alone is absolutely, positively warming the planet. Now, if we take the 100 million tons of CO2 that's put in the atmosphere every single day, anybody who thinks that's not having an effect is not looking at the facts. Again, the atmosphere does not allow that to go anywhere. It doesn't escape. It stays in the atmosphere. And we have people that argue that CO2 is good for forests and plants, and that's true. But it still has an effect on the climate. You can't put that much material in the air and not have an effect. So, again, my goal is to stop climate engineering, to expose it and to stop it. And then we can all, I think, haggle about the climate situation later. But for people to imagine that we can burn 4 billion gallons of hydrocarbon a day and not have an effect, cut down the forests and not have an effect, poison the oceans and not have an effect, that's simply...
I think that's obvious. Excuse me for interrupting, but I think that's obvious because you see it happening with whales. You see it happening with tuna. There's all kinds of chemicals that they are that are induced into their bodies that have that's been proven. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But again, unless I missed it, my main question is, do you think global warming is man-made, period?
Well, I think I answered that. I tried to give you actual data, and I don't know how
The reason I'm asking that is because I know that you don't agree with John Coleman, who helped co-found the Weather Channel, because from the information I found that you had put out about John is the fact that he was not what's the term? I'm not a weatherman. He's not a
meteorologist.
Meteorologist. Thank you. I'm glad you helped me out on that one. But there's over 9,000 PhDs and 31 scientists who signed a petition that has said that carbon dioxide is not a significant greenhouse gas, that it's a teeny, itsy, bitsy part. Now, the fact that you and John disagree, or that you may not agree with what John Coleman says, he's been around for eons, and I'm sure that he's done a lot of studying himself into this. But my concern, because once – he was just interviewed recently.
If I could back up, Neil, just on the one point you made, sorry to cut you off before you get too far, though, on the petition you mentioned, I would challenge you to produce any list of names from the people who actually signed that petition. They don't exist. That petition is a complete fraud. And I would, again, I don't like the IPCC. I am completely appalled at the whole climate science community that is pretending, whether to protect their paycheck or their pension, they're pretending that the climate engineering is not going on. That makes them, in my mind, criminally liable to a population whom they work for. So I have no love for the climate science community at all. But the kind of petitions you're talking about, these tens of thousands of people that have signed, so-called scientists, I would challenge you or anybody else, produce the list of those names.
That would be, and that's a good, and you make a good point. I won't argue that part. The point is, and in the article that I got, I did not print out the entire article primarily because I got so much stuff in front of me, Dane, you wouldn't believe it. Because for me to put on this show to try to educate my audience that might not be familiar with chemtrails or geoengineering, I wanted to find out as much as I could, so I, tried to shorten it down so it wasn't as lengthy to give you the opportunity to make your point.
And I think John Coleman, I met with John Coleman too. Sorry to interrupt you again, but with Coleman, I would also challenge people to look at the full post I put up on him. Coleman stated in one, he refused a national radio talk show host's request to debate me on the air. He flatly refused. Two, he stated publicly with a 5-minute public disinformation piece that anybody who thinks that geoengineering is going on is a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase. So again, people need to look at who's saying what, who can back up what, and I'll back up anything I say, anything.
Now, was this before or after? I'm curious. Was this before or after the Fox News Channel had him on, and he did? He did, in fact, state that it was, that he was not, he didn't believe in this the global warming, and that it was just a moneymaker for, for this Al Gore, Bill Gates organization type thing. The point I'm getting at is, we know that the Weather Channel was bought by the Rothschilds, number one, then sold out and went to NBC. And so we know all about NBC. They're just mainstream media that's not going to tell people the real truth. I want to give our phone number out again, Dane. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And we do have our caller back that we lost earlier. And I think that she's still with us. Janet,
yes.
You were?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great.
I still didn't hear him say, hear Dane say whether it was caused by humans or not. And I just wanted to say something. People think we're so overpopulated. And I've seen several articles on these different mathematicians that figured out the square footage of the state of Texas and put the amount of people in the entire planet would fit in the state of Texas with 1,000 square feet each. And when you put it in that perspective, and more than one mathematician has done this, when you put it in that kind of perspective, it's really hard for me to believe that the human population is causing all this. And then I'd also like to know, since I keep having to hang up, I'd also like to know what evidence is there that the reason we have global warming is all the carbon that we're putting into the atmosphere. I'd like to know where you got your information on that, because being a contractor, my husband's a contractor, and he wouldn't know that. So I was wondering how you knew that, how he got that information.
Well, thank you for your question. My contracting background has nothing to do with the rest of my background and my research. First, in regard to the state of the climate with Coleman or Tim Ball or any of these other people who are a few voices of dissent, let me give some actual statistical facts I would challenge anybody to dispute. We have just passed the 356th consecutive month of above normal global temperatures, 39 years in a row. Now, mathematically, the planet was cooling until about the start of the Industrial Revolution, and it was in the elliptical phase. It's in the elliptical phase of its orbit, should have continued cooling. So the mathematical odds of this warming happening in perfect lockstep with human activity is as close to zero as you can get. So, but I'm not here to talk about climate change. I'm here to fight climate engineering, which I feel no government has a right to do on its population without its population's knowledge and consent. They have no right. I don't sell anything on my website. I'm not political. I'm in this because my children have no future if climate engineering continues. And climate engineering is simply an attempt to mask the damage already done to the climate from many causes, one of the biggest being climate engineering, by doing even more damage. And this is exactly what the power structure does. They did it in the Gulf of Mexico with the chemical Corexit. If anybody doesn't know what that chemical was, it's banned throughout the globe. They used it in the Gulf of Mexico to hide the severity of the oil spill. Not to make it better, it made it 52 times more toxic, according to environmental impact reports, but they used it anyway. So when we have 20 to 25% of the sun's direct rays being blocked, and we still have the kind of temperatures we have a problem. We have a big problem. And the bottom line is how people can think that we have not affected the climate system. I don't understand that, because you can't put 100 million tons in the atmosphere a day and not have a change. And if we go back 5.2 million years ago to the Pliocene epoch, we had more carbon in the atmosphere than today. We had a vibrant, healthy, lush Western U.S., not a droughted out dust bowl like we have. What's the difference? Climate engineering is the difference. Climate engineering is disrupting the patterns of the hydrological cycle. So, again, there's a lot of factors here. Too many people want to make it either this or that. It's a much more complicated equation.
Okay, getting back to a little bit ago here, just on this last statement, let me ask you this, because I personally don't believe in this is just my personal feelings, okay, Dane. I personally do not believe in this global warming thing. I really don't.
I've abandoned my personal feelings for data. And I'm just
telling you what my personal feelings are, because of the fact, I mean, I'm old enough to remember, for crying out loud, this kind of temperatures when I was a child, and that's been many years ago. I'm not going to go telling everybody how old I am, because they might start calling me grandpa or something. Anyway, let me ask you this a couple quick questions here, because I know you got involved because you did say. Because of your family, and I understand that. I totally, you know, I'm concerned about the future of my children and my grandchildren. But let me ask you this. What are your credentials or your degrees that got you involved with this? Well, I mean, that made you, you know, let the audience know where, you know, what degrees you have or what credentials you have that made you the primary person, if I might use that term, that people refer to, because I know you've been on many shows, TV, radio, and et cetera. So can you give us some credentials? Because you did work for Bechtel Corporation, which is, you know, most people are aware of Bechtel. I guess my question would be, is this part of what you learned at Bechtel and what you did at Bechtel?
So you're not interested in the fact that my data is irrefutable. You want to launch a personal attack now, as if a piece of paper.
No. See, you're taking this wrong. I'm asking
let me finish that question then. This is why our society's in the state it's in, because people have been programmed to believe that unless you have – I have 4 years of college. I have no formal degree, so I hope that answers your question.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I don't have a piece of paper with a particular set of letters on it from an establishment-controlled, ordained institution whose job it is to make sure those in academia do not address the truth accurately, then that's supposed to somehow make my data less credible. The fact that I've studied nonstop for 15 years and have debated many on air, including Greenpeace's top scientist, a lot of other people, my data is solid. I have never, ever had anybody be able to refute my data. That should stand on itself. It should not matter what piece of paper I have from a peer-reviewed institution whose job it is to make sure that academia does not tell the truth. So I stand on my data alone, Neil. And again, I thought we were here to educate your listeners about climate engineering.
Listen, Dane, you are doing a great job. I am a radio show host. It's my job to get answers for an audience that may not have a clue about what we're talking about to begin with. I want to give our number out because we do have another caller. But anyway, 888-627-6008 is the number. That's 888-627-6008. We don't have much time left, so let's get to our next caller. Ray is on line one.
Neil, if I could give one quick final rebuttal again, I'm not asking, I've never asked anybody to believe me. I repeated in your show earlier, please don't believe me. Simply review the data I'm presenting. So I've never asked anybody to believe me. I want that to be.
And I think that's a good answer because the same as in the many years that I've been in radio, I've always said, don't believe what I'm saying. Do your research. So I think you and I kind of agree with that. Ray, are you on the line?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Ray. Go ahead. You have a question for Dane?
Hi, Dane. Yeah, actually, I do. Two questions. I came in a little bit after the beginning of the show, but I'm wondering if Dane has a website where his data can be found, first of all. That would be my first question.
Yes, he does.
We're the largest website on the planet, I think, on this issue. It's geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, Ray, you won't find any advertising, no politics. We're simply trying to get people to review the data. So it's geoengineeringwatch.org.
Okay, that's my first question. Thank you. And my second one is in regards to this. I've watched some UN video of a few people talking about the spraying, and I'm totally in agreement with you on the spraying. I've actually watched it on the side of the road going down the interstate, and I've watched some jets leave their chemtrails through the clouds, and I've actually watched the clouds break apart as though they were taffy and just kind of pulled apart and just got all hazy. And it was just driving for a period of a couple hours, just kind of looking out the window, seeing this happen. So I'm totally with you on this. I don't know how much I agree with the other part, but nonetheless, I think you're absolutely correct in regards to, even if we went back millions of years when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, it was a lot hotter. But what they're spraying in the air now is definitely bad news. And I don't even think it's even that much the aluminum, but I believe there's barium and there's other stuff that's being found. And where I live, there's times in the summer that this stuff actually falls down on your car and gets embedded and encased into the clear coat of the finish of the car. And yes, nobody's being told about this. People keep saying that it's nothing but, you know, contrails. Nobody's admitting to this, and the media's not saying anything. And I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. People need to know that they're being poisoned, that they're being sprayed. And I just don't know. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I understand that things are not what they appear, but nobody seems to care anymore. They're just going to argue with you. There's manuals that were put out by the military about how to spray and how they're spraying. I mean, the information is out there, and nobody seems to really want to know this. So what do you have to say to that?
They'll care soon, because our situation is far worse and far more immediate than most people understand. And again, the reason it's important for people to understand the state of the climate is because the power structure is going to come to the population probably sometime soon and say, we have a cure for the warming planet called geoengineering. And it's important that the population understand climate engineering is aggravating the planetary warming. It cannot help it. It is hurting it. Climate engineering is making the planet warmer. So it's important people understand climate engineering is not a cure. It's already help to get us to the point we're at. And on the weather that people watch, as our media hypes up the big cold snowstorms in the east, for example, I'm looking at the weather for Skagway, Alaska right now. It's 44 degrees and raining in Alaska. It's supposed to be 45 degrees and raining tomorrow. We have ocean temperatures in the Arctic Circle, 34 degrees above normal. You don't hear much talk about that. So I'm saying that people need to look at the wider picture. Please don't believe me and understand that climate engineering is literally tearing the planet's climate system apart. It's keeping the planet from responding to the damage done, because if the planet had been allowed to respond, then this more carbon-laden rain would have stimulated the boreal forest. It would have been a much increased hydrological cycle. The planet responds to changes that are happening to it, but it can't respond right now because of climate engineering. So again, if they continue on this track, mathematically speaking, we don't have much time left, none of us. And in the meantime, and this is the bottom line with this discussion, this is very important. I'll make one point and I'll shut up. Every single one of us is breathing what they are spraying. Every one of us. We're getting dumber by the day because we know the neurological effects of this metal. on our system. It helps penetrates the blood-brain barrier when combined with the various elements we know are there. So if we're exposed to that kind of a toxin because of what they're doing, no matter what we think about the climate, no matter what we think about any other subject, if we can't take in a breath without sucking this stuff in, we have a fight for life on our hands, and that's the fight I'm trying to wage, to wake people up to this fact.
Okay, Ray, thanks for your call. I don't mean to cut you off because we do have another caller, but I want to get to. I wanted to ask you, Dane, with this, there's no doubt the government is involved. The CIA and this ties me into Agenda 21, and I'm sure you're familiar with Agenda 21, which is the United Nations push. Is this tied in with Agenda 21?
I think it would be impossible to separate the two. Yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm asking that is because this leads me to another question that I would like to ask, and that is there an antidote? Because, you know, otherwise everybody's going to die, and that doesn't make sense that these people in charge want to kill off even themselves. You know, I don't care if it's the pilots. I don't care if it's their families or whoever else. I mean, who in the world, unless they're maniacs, want to kill off their families or their loved ones? So that we know that the elite, if I can call them that, must have some kind of an antidote. Do you have an answer to that? I mean, do you know any knowledge about this?
I do. First, we know we're dealing with people that are clinically psychopathic. There's no question about that. The statistics prove that. Two, we know there's chelation processes that are not available to the general public. Metal chelation, I know one researcher that has been to a facility in Germany, not available to the rest of us. You're on a table for a day and a half. Your blood's pulled from your body. Your entire system is cleansed with processes that are not available to the rest of us. Once annually would probably exempt the power structure from most of the cumulative effects that the rest of us will feel. Three, and this is very important, those in power, again, because they're clinically psychopathic in most cases, have a common thread, and that is a near total lack of comprehension to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. So when we have a nuclear plant like Fukushima that may kill us all in the end, and we have at the same time Obama approving $6.5 billion to build more nuclear plants in Georgia.
Yes.
We have 2,000 nuclear bombs detonated on the planet that contaminated everyone, including the global elite. We are not dealing with sanity here. People need to understand that. And if they want to walk away from this issue thinking it can't be because they at the top wouldn't do this to themselves, they have done so much to themselves already and the rest of the planet that we know that that's not a legitimate excuse to walk away from this issue. And also, this is very important, the methane that's releasing in the Arctic right now, this is happening. I don't care how a person wants to consider why it's happening, but it is happening. They're trying in an even more destructive way to slow this down. It's part of why they're spraying, but they're making it worse, not better. So there's a lot of layers to this onion, again, a lot. And the fact that the population is getting dumber from this spraying, and we are. We know autism right now, the latest statistics we have for MIT, within 10 years on the current trajectory, one out of two kids is going to have autism, one out of two. We're getting, all of us, less able to think cognitively. So all these things are part of the overall aspect of these programs.
Okay. Dane, we're really, this has been a fast moving show. In fact, we're down to about 60 seconds and then we got to get out of here. It's a shame that we don't have another hour to, we can continue this because, we missed a caller that I wish we could have gotten to. As a matter of fact, there were probably a lot of other callers that we just weren't able to get to. I want to just say this, Dane. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I know you think that I've jumped all over your case. And my point is, I'm just trying to get information out to the audience. You've got a great guest. I appreciate it, and perhaps maybe we could do this again because I think this is highly, highly important. We're probably down to what, about 15 seconds? I don't know. Before I got to get out of here.
It's more important most people realize, again, Neil, I'm focused on this issue because short of nuclear cataclysm, this issue is the greatest and most immediate threat to all life on Earth. So my only goal in this whole battle is to get people to investigate for themselves. That is my only goal.
Okay. I want to thank you, Dane. You've been patient with me, and I appreciate it. And I think maybe we can do another show sometime soon. Again, thank you for your work and your efforts, and for taking the callers. Unfortunately, we may not got to everybody or everything we needed. But in the meantime, I want to let everybody know that you can reach us at neil1americantruthfinders@gmail.com. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Keep look at Facebook, and I'll have our next show and who our guest, if we have a guest, or what our topic will be. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again, Dane Warren Wigington. This is Neil Douglas, American Truth Finders. Have a great evening, have a great week, and everybody be safe.